Every morning he's waiting, but they never show. They're too busy with living to ever fully know that he who made the universe and told the stars to shine wants nothing more than to hear them call his name one time. What a privilege to have the ear of God. When we beckon, he's here, here by our side. We say, Father, he listens, and he comes to hear our prayer. What a privilege to have a Father who cares. You promised him you'd be there, but you've never shown. He's been waiting for too long, still prayer you've never known. Oh, to think the joy you're missing and fellowship divine. Still he wants nothing more to hear than you call him at that time. What a privilege to have the ear of God. When we beckon, he's here, here by our side. Say, Father, he listens, and he comes to hear our prayer. What a privilege to have a Father who cares. To you who have known him, what joy and love untold. His presence, sweet and filling, is worth far more than gold. Don't ever forget the love of God and best friend ever known. Wants nothing more than to hear you call his name once more. What a privilege I have the ear of my God. When I beckon, he's here, here by my side. I say, Father, he listens, and he comes to hear my prayer. What a privilege to know my Father cares. Every hour, every minute, he's never left my side. All I have to do is say, Father, please be my guide, be my guide. What a privilege to have the ear of God. When we beckon, he's here, here by our side. Have a Father who cares. We say, Father, and he listens. What a privilege to have a
think that fella's going to learn how to sing someday. Amen. Man, that was just beautiful. Good night. Man, I tell you, that makes you want to Just say, Father, amen. Help me. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that very much. Good to be here with you today. Appreciate this chance to be with you. I've enjoyed the time to get to spend with Brother Angel. I forgot how contagious his laugh is. Amen. I've been enjoying that. Ho, 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 ho. Sounds like a real grandpa laugh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, it's good to be with you today. We've got a lot going on in our ministry. We're just so grateful. Thank you to Faith Baptist for supporting us for a number of years. We appreciate it so very much. Just got back from a trip from Kenya with Brother Runyon. We had a lot of people saved, a lot of neat things happened there, and we'll try to put it all in our next letter coming out to you. I don't want to really take the time to go into it right now, but be praying about this radio station. It is actually a miracle that this has happened. Last October, there were 3,609 applications that were submitted to the FCC in 4 days for the kind of station that we got, which is a Class B non-commercial. 3,609 in 4 days. And the Roman Catholics, they went after the radio stations in this last window of opportunity that you had. And I mean, listen, for us to get a station, 5,000 watts, 200 feet in the air, 24 hours a day, I'm telling you what, the Lord blessed. Amen. And I have friends of mine that sunk, I can't even tell you how many thousands of dollars into this last window that opened up. And then all of a sudden, they're competing stations, their airwaves are valuable right now. I mean, it means money to the business world. And spent a lot of money, several of them did. And they just lost out because of a station being able to serve a community in a different way, better way, amen, bigger, high power antennas and things of that nature there. And boy, God gave this to us. Amen. So boy, we're just delighted. One of the things that I'm thrilled about is that I'm going to be able to put my mentor, Dr. Boyd, on the radio. And Brother Boyd, probably, unless the Lord just miraculously touches him, he'll probably never preach again. I got to spend a day with him a couple of days ago, and I just cannot communicate anymore. He knows what he wants to say, but that last stroke that he had about 4 years ago just takes, it's taken more out of him every year. But I'm going to have my mentor preaching every day. Amen. I told him about it. He understands it. And man, it just thrills my heart to be able to do that. Amen. So you pray for us. We need your prayers. A lot of work to be done. And I have an important meeting when I get back home on Wednesday and Thursday concerning these things here. So keep us in your prayers. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and look over to Matthew chapter 7 right now, please. Matthew chapter number 7. And I want to begin reading with verse number 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Kim and the children are all doing well. Of course, Oliver's married. He's the one that's given us our two grandsons. And then Christina is working for Brother Jenkins up at Grace. And then Angela and Joel are still at home, praise the Lord. And Angela will finish up this year, Lord willing, and head off to Bible college. And then we'll have Joel at home all by himself with us, amen. Man, I'm so glad that the Lord gave us a caboose later on in life, amen. And we're just so thrilled. They're all doing well. Just a few years ago, Joel surrendered to be a preacher. And boy, I can just really see it in him. He's doing very well. You continue to pray for him. Let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of God's word, Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21. The Bible says to us here in this verse, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Very, very intriguing passage of scripture here. I'll introduce my title to you a little bit later on in the message. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, shall we? Father, I pray now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll help us, Lord, in the service today. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to be with your people here. And I just want to be a help and a blessing to everybody that's here. So bless us, Lord, with your presence and power today. Help me as I preach. Bless these as they listen. Use this passage in our hearts and lives today. We pray that souls would be saved, backsliders would be reclaimed, and every single one of us in some way would be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Here in Matthew chapter number 7, there are two kinds of people that are being described here. This passage is the conclusion to the Lord's message that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, or excuse me, the Sermon on the Mount. And the two kinds of people that Jesus are talking about here in this passage we're looking at today, number one, there are people that know the Lord, but not only do they know Him, but also He knows them. And then He's talking about a group of people that say they know Him, but He doesn't know them as His children. They're described in this text passage here. And I believe this passage is teaching us that not only do we need to say we know the Lord and know it by conviction, but we need to make sure that the Lord knows who we are. Because there are a lot of people today that say they know the Lord Jesus, and they call Him Lord, but He's not. He's never been their Savior. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." Look at verse number 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not?" And then look at verse number 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." So the whole point to the message here is that you better make sure that the Lord knows who you are. Amen? You better know. The Bible says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." Well, I can only imagine there are some people right now, you're thinking, how in the world can you say that, preacher? How can you say that God doesn't know some people? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Amen? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 22, the Bible says, "For as in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So if you've been born into this world, you are the sons, we are the sons and the daughters of Adam and Eve. We are the descendants of Adam and Eve. You don't go back to a monkey swinging from a tree. You don't go back to a one-cell amoeba. You go back to Adam and Eve. Amen. It had to be that way. Adam and Eve. And if you have been born into this world, that makes you a descendant of Adam. And the Bible says, "For as in Adam, all die." If you only have a connection to Adam, and that's it, you're in trouble. Because your connection to Adam, you inherited a sinful nature, death, hell, and judgment. "For as in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive." But if you have a time and place when you have called upon the Lord to be saved, you have been born again by the Spirit of God, you have a connection to the Lord Jesus. Amen. If all you have is just to be born into this world, "For as in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Everybody understand that? Look with me to Romans chapter number 5. Just to lay this a little bit deeper here, I want you to see this. Romans chapter number 5, and we're going to begin with verse number 12. Now I'm going to do my best not to comment as I'm reading this particular passage, and because just to save a little bit of time, but I know what it says, so I'm going to tell you right now I'm going to be tempted. Amen. But to save a little bit of time, I'm just going to try to read it. And I want you to see, I want you to do your best to see how if all we're in is Adam, we're in trouble. And what a difference it makes when we're in Jesus because we've been saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world." Now that one man is Adam. All right, I'm going to try not to comment anymore here, okay? All right, but look at verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Notice now, verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So in verse 15, Adam and Jesus are both mentioned there. Jesus by name. Look at verse 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned," speaking of Adam, "so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many unto justification, many offenses under justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Friend, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And if you have been born into this world, then you fit naturally in that Adam, in the Adamic race. You better make sure there has to be a time in your life when you have been connected to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, by grace through faith. Now just imagine for a moment, if all of a sudden in the parking lot of the church here, these big black limousines pulled up, bunch of them, and these big guys got out, all of them are dressed in black suits and white shirts and dark ties, and you could tell that they were packing. And they went through the church complex here, and they made sure that it was all clear, that it was secure. Then all of a sudden, from one of the limousines that was in the middle of them, the president walked out, George W. Bush. And he walked into this room. And all of a sudden, he came right down the center aisle, and he came on this platform, and he said, "Pastor, may I address the crowd?" And he got behind the pulpit, and he began to speak to us. How many of you would recognize him? Hold up your hand, all right? You'd recognize him? Or I think we would, amen? I think we would recognize him. Now, whether he would recognize any one of us on a personal level, probably not. I don't know if he'd look down there and say, "Well, Brother Bragg, how in the world have you been doing? Man, we got to get together for coffee again." It probably would not be that way, amen? We would all know him, but probably he would not know us in the same way. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying in this particular passage. You better make sure that you know the Lord, but you better make sure that the Lord knows you. Because if I understand this passage correctly, that's what Jesus was really saying in this passage here. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." They're going to be so sad and so shocked to find out that when they stand before the Lord, that he is going to cast them into hell because he does not know them as one of his children, one who has been saved. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 27, please. John chapter 10, verse number 27. Have your old-timey King James Bibles handy. We're going to look at them here this morning. But you got to turn quick, amen, because we're using my time up here, all right? So John 10 and verse number 26, Jesus says in this passage, "My sheep," now that is a description of believers, those that have been born again, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." The Bible says, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." There have been many times that I've been in revival meetings. The preacher and I goes and make some calls. We knock on a door, go to a person's house. Maybe they have been attending the church for years. Preacher walks in and says, "Listen, we just want to have a visit with you. We just want to make sure. I've just been praying for you. The Lord put you on my heart. And I want to make sure that if something were to happen to you, that you know you're going to go to heaven." Well, I've heard them say it many times, "Oh, preacher, you don't have to worry about me. I know the Lord." Well, you see, I'm not asking you this morning, do you know the Lord? What I'm asking you this morning is, does the Lord know you? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And a lot of times the reason why the preacher wants to make a follow-up call to you is because there is no evidence. There is no fruit that comes out of your life that shows and demonstrates that you are a blood-washed, born-again child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now once again, look at our text passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now I want you to think with me for a minute. If Jesus makes this statement, is there something behind it? Is there a reason why he said it? He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you think that it could be that there are some people that are planning on going to heaven and they are going to be shocked to find out that they are unknown by the Lord Jesus Christ as his child? Sure, it has to mean that. Jesus says, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So this morning, I'm not asking you, do you know the Lord? I'm asking you this morning, my friend, does the Lord know you? Does he know you as his child? Because I'm telling you this morning, there are going to be a multitude of people who are going to be shocked to find out that the Lord does not know them as his child. They've truly never been born again. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 1 gives us the parable of the 10 virgins. The Bible tells us that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They were the first ones. The first 5 were wise because they had oil in their lamps. That is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That is a symbol of the new birth, that they have been saved. They've been born again. The Bible says the bridegroom came at midnight and called them out. The 5 foolish virgins didn't have any oil. They tried to borrow it from the 5 wise virgins, but it couldn't happen at that particular time. That is symbolical of people who their whole lifetime borrow somebody else's spirituality. They have no spirituality of them for themselves. They don't have a testimony that they themselves have truly been saved. They have borrowed their salvation from their wife or from their husband. They have borrowed it from their dad, their grandparents. They look at some kind of person in their family that had some kind of deep religious commitment, and they attach themselves to that person. They have never truly been born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus came at midnight. They said, we want some of what your oil. We can't give you your oil. We're following him out. And the Bible says about them in verse number 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You see, this morning, my friend, I'm not asking you, do you know the Lord? What I'm asking you this morning is, does the Lord know you? But if I understand this passage right, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be so saddened, and they're going to be in a distress mode when they find out that they are unknown by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Oh, Brother Oliver, you don't have to worry about me. I know the Lord. Preacher, you don't have to worry about me. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I'm not asking you this morning, do you know the Lord? What I'm asking you this morning is, does the Lord know you? Amen. Luke chapter 13. Take your Bibles and look over there, please. Luke 13. That's between Genesis and Revelation if you need having a difficulty time. Amen. Closer to Revelation, I promise you. Amen. Luke chapter 13. And we'll begin with verse number 25. The Bible says here, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door. That statement there, hath shut to the door, could represent the last opportunity to be saved. And you began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord. Well, we've seen that combination of words before, haven't we? Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Now that word whence is very interesting. It means the source. I know not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Wait just a minute, Jesus. We ate in your presence. We had a meal with you. I heard you teach.
I sat there and I listened to your message. What do you mean you don't know who I am? Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. He says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now listen, I want you to understand this morning, I'm not trying to get anybody here to doubt their salvation. Amen. All I'm asking you to do this morning is to check your parachute. Amen. Because one of these days you are going to expire. Amen. They're going to write it down. You cease to live on this earth. And I'm just asking you, you better make sure and check what you've got strapped on. You better check what you're believing in. Because if you have never been born again, my friend, listen, you may find yourself at death, and instead of your beliefs taking you to the golden shores of heaven, brother, it might be hurling you straight to hell. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. Man, I'm not. I'm just asking you, just check what you believe, because Jesus himself says, many will say to me in that day, amen. You see, by these verses, we learn that the Lord cannot endure the presence of those that call him Lord and then do iniquity. We learn that many will passionately profess to him, I know you, but he will profess to them, I never knew you. And I'm telling you, my friend, nothing will prove us to be more genuine Christians but a sincere doing of the Father's will. And I'm talking about something specific, doing of the Father's will. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. The phrase, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I believe they'll be some of the saddest words that'll ever be spoken to a whole lot of sinners. I want you to see, they'll be sad because, number one, there's going to be a lot of praying people who are going to hear these dreadful words. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me. When we talk to the Lord, when we saith unto him, that's considered prayer. We talk to the Lord. And the Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, it's going to be so sad because there are going to be a lot of people who said a lot of prayers. And they expected those prayers to gain some kind of advantage for them. And it's not going to happen. I'm not against praying. Amen. But my friend, these recital religious prayers that religion teaches today is not going to get the job done. Turn your Bibles one page back to chapter number 6 of Matthew. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I do want you to see this. It'll mean a lot to you. Matthew chapter number 6. And let's look, we'll start with the first verse there in verse number 5 of Matthew chapter number 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Notice verse number 7, and this pertains to my point I've just made a moment ago. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now this is Jesus speaking, friend. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Vain repetitious praying. Praying over and over again. You can scan your radio dial. You can hear them. You can hear these men leading their congregations in those prayers. Saying those prayers, rubbing those beads, kissing those beads, doing them all this amount of time. They're doing it because a leader has told them to do it. And they're trusting that leader's theology that if they do those prayers that they're going to make it to heaven. Can you see how sad they're going to be? Because they believe they've did all those little prayers, they've rubbed those beads, kissed those beads, they've gone through all of that because their leaders told them that. Can you imagine how shocked they're going to be to find out? What do you mean you don't know who I am? I prayed to you. There are going to be sad words because a lot of praying people are going to hear those dreadful words. I want you to see number 2, they're going to be sad because there's going to be a lot of prophesiers who will hear these dreadful words. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, wait just a minute. Would you please consider? I was a Bible teacher. I preached on the streets. I lifted up the word of God and proclaimed the word of God. I preached. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, would you just please consider that I was a deacon. I taught in vacation Bible school. I was a Sunday school teacher. And I'm not, it's wonderful to serve in those areas, my friend. But you, if you are serving in those areas to gain heaven, my friend, you're wrong. There are going to be a lot of prophesiers who are going to hear these dreadful words. But wait just a minute, Jesus. I proclaim the word in your name. Jesus will say, but did you do the will of my Father? I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon had to say about this text. All the preaching in the world will not save the preacher if he is unknown to Christ. You see, my friend, these particular, the prophesying spoke of here was intended as a work. It should have been a fruit, and it was intended as a work to gain salvation. Can you imagine the multitude of people who are going to say, but Jesus, wait, I prophesied in your name. And they're going to hear those dreadful words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Going to be some sad words, friend, I'm telling you, sad. They're going to be sad because there's going to be a lot of propagators of demonic deliverance are going to hear these dreadful words. Look what it says. And in thy name have cast out devils. Boy, we performed exorcism. We had deliverance meetings. We had them line up. And my friend, I don't even have to tell you, but there's one particular denomination that all of these 4 points apply to. And I don't even have to tell you what it is. And I'm not saying all those people are going to hell. I'm just saying, my friend, you better make sure, more than just you know the Lord, you better make sure that the Lord knows you. A lot of propagators of demonic deliverance will hear these dreadful words, and by thy name have cast out devils, and yet the caster out without personal holiness, without personal salvation, the caster out of devils will be cast out himself. I want you to see, number four, they're going to be promoters of the social gospel will hear these dreadful words. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Lord, would you just please consider, we collected items, food items and clothing for the poor. We sent it overseas. We had big tractor trailers and big trucks and warehouses, and we collected food and shoes and boots and clothes and tents and sleeping bags and candles. And man, we sent goods all over the world, and I'm certainly not preaching against that, my friend. But just because you spend a lifetime trying to feed the poor and clothe the poor, listen, that's not your ticket to heaven. And there are going to be multitudes that will say, but wait, Jesus, I gave literally millions of dollars. I helped out in those causes. And Jesus will say to them, but did you do my Father's will? And many will profess unto him, and then he will profess unto them, I never knew you. I want you to notice, my friend, the population who will hear these dreadful words. The Bible, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. And what a sad, sad day that's going to be for so many people, because they planned on, they intended, they believed sincerely that they were on their way to heaven, and they're going to be shocked to find out. I want you to notice the distressing profession they will hear, and then will I profess unto them. Who's he talking about? Who's Jesus talking about? The prayer, the praying people. You know, these vain repetition. And then will I profess unto them. Who? The prophesiers. And then will I profess unto them. Who is he talking about? The propagators of demonic deliverance. And then will I profess unto them. Who? The promoters of the social gospel did many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them. Who? The population, many. There's going to be multitude there. Here it is. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7:23. And you see, the sad thing about it is all the above just simply miss the promise. Because there is a promise in verse 21. Here it is. I've been waiting to say it, tell it to you. Amen. That's what this whole sermon's been about, the promise. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he will be in heaven. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven,
But if you do the will of my Father which is in heaven, you will be in heaven. And what is the Father? What is the Father's will? Well, I don't think it's any more explained any better than in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He patiently waits on us, is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. But, in other words, he is willing that all should come to repentance. Amen. God's will for you is for you to come to repentance. Right. What is it? It's having a change of mind about yourself. You are not good enough, and your deeds are not good enough to get you to heaven.
That's right.
You need a Savior.
Amen.
It's a change of mind about your sin. Look at all what God had to do, what the Lord Jesus had to do because of sin. And it's your sin. It's my sin. It's having a change of mind about my sin. And it's having a change of mind about the Savior. He has to become more than just the one that died for the sins of the world. I have to make it personal.
Amen.
He has to become my personal Savior. The day that I got saved. Me, I got saved. I was home when I lived in Texas, and I was running some errands one morning, and I stopped at a Texaco station to fill my truck up with gasoline. And as I was filling it up, a car pulled up beside me, and I could tell that they were traveling. There was a lot of stuff packed on the back window area, and there were blankets and things in the car. A mother and father got out, and two kids got out, and the man was putting gas in his car. And the lady and the children had gone into the store. And it took me longer to fill up my truck with gasoline, so he had already paid, filled it up and paid. And they had come back and got back in the car and left. And as I was wrapping things up, I put the nozzle back on the pump there and started walking out. And those two little kids that got out with that woman were walking out of the store as I was walking in. And I noticed them, it was the same kids. And their parents had left them. And the look on those kids' faces, I will never, ever, ever forget. I'm talking about the people who are supposed to love you and protect you and care about you. And those kids were abandoned. And man, at that point, they didn't know who to trust. They didn't want to talk. They were scared of everybody. And I can understand that. They were afraid of everybody. Finally, a policeman came, a man in uniform. They recognized that came and began to make decisions on what happened from this point on. I'll never forget those little kids as they walked out and their car, their mom and dad, were gone. And can you imagine how these multitude of people are going to stand before the Lord? Wait. But Lord, all these things that I did. Can you imagine those words? Depart from me. I never knew you. They're going to be so sad. See, friend, I'm not asking you this morning, do you know the Lord? I'm asking you this morning, does the Lord know you? Amen. Is his child. You know him by faith. You've been saved. And now that you've been saved, you get baptized and get in church, start reading your Bible and praying, and telling your friends about Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, it's good to be able to say, I know the Lord.
Amen.
But it's even better to be able to say it, I know the Lord knows me.
Amen.
Praise God, man. Glory to God. And that's what I want to ask you this morning. Are you absolutely sure that the Lord knows you? If you've been born into this world, he knows you as a son of Adam. But unless you've been born again, he won't know you as his child. And you need to take care of it. Amen. Even this morning. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Oh, boy, the Lord is so good to us. Amen. He's just trying to tell us. It's just another invitation. He's saying, look, don't look to your religion. Don't look to all that stuff. He put that in there for us to just think about it and make sure that we're in the faith. Remember, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. You check the history of my ministry, and I'm not that. I don't do it that way. But I am just asking you, because eternity is a long time and because salvation is wonderful, man, you just need to make sure that you're in. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning how many would say, preacher, pray for me. I don't really know for sure that the Lord knows me as his child, and I'd like to get it settled 100% this morning. Hold your hand up right now and let me pray for you. Lift it up real high right now and let me pray for you. There's one up there. There's two. Amen. There's three right there. God bless you. There's another one back there. Thank you for. Anybody else? Thank you right over here. God bless you. Wonderful. Amen. Anybody else? God bless you, young lady. I see your hand. There's another one there. God bless each and every one of you. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask each of you if you'll do me a favor. We're not going to embarrass you anyway. You won't have to make a speech in front of this crowd, but we got to get you to talk to somebody personally. So while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you raised your hand, would you be so kind to just lift up your head and look at me for just a minute? If you raised your hand, look at me. God bless you. Thank you. If you'd just be so kind to slip to the aisle, come right down here. These men are going to pair you up with somebody that'll take the Bible and show you how to get it settled. Here's one. Come on. Here's another one right here. Let's go. Come on. You raise your hand. Let's go. That's right. Make your way down. Let's go. There were several in the balcony. Come on down here right now. Let's go. Let's take care of it. There was another one back over here. Let's go. All right. That's right. Come ahead. Come ahead. Amen. Here's another one right here. Come on. Who else? Several up in the balcony. Come on, young people. Don't be ashamed. You raise your hand. Let's take care of it right now. You better make sure that the Lord knows who you are. Here's one. There's two. There's three. There's four. Who else is going to come this morning? Come on. Let's take care of it right now. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, listen, you're too precious. Man, you better make sure that the Lord knows you as his child, because it's a wonderful thing. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Come on, son. Let's go. How about it, sir, ma'am? Let's take care of it. Anyone else? That's right. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Man, don't be embarrassed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I just want to mention it here in John chapter 10, verse 27. Remember what he said? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And once you've been saved, it is a proof, it's a testimony about how you follow the Lord after you get saved. And after you're saved, the next thing you need to do is to be baptized. You need to get in church. Man, you need to start reading your Bible. Man, you need to start loving God. Give your tithes and offerings. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many this morning say, Brother Oliver, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Christ in believer's baptism. Pray for me. I need to be baptized now that I've been saved. Hold your hand up real high. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? I've been saved. I haven't been baptized. Here's a young lady right there. God bless you. Anybody else? Lift your hand up real high. All right, this little girl that raised her hand, won't you have your daddy bring you down here and let him talk to the preachers, and they'll help you to know what to do to get baptized. Come on, that's right. That's right. Come on up. Let her pray with the pastor here. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, maybe there's somebody here. Say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I'm saved. But Brother Oliver, I don't have a testimony of a good Christian. I don't have a clear testimony of being a good Christian. And I know I'm saved. I know the Lord knows me. I know him. But Brother Oliver, I need to work on my testimony. Boy, God spoke to my heart this morning. Could I see your hand? Lift it up real high. Let me pray for you. Thank God for each and every one of you. Boy, it's so important that you follow the Lord. Amen. When you follow the Lord, it adds power to your testimony. When you witness to people, when you got a life behind it, it means so much more. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Oliver, pray. I have a loved one, a close friend, and they're just kind of like what's described in the text. They're religious, but they're lost, and I'm burdened for them. I want them to be saved. Could I see your hand? Let's pray for these people. God bless you. Thank you. A lot of hands. Amen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on this invitation. As soon as I say amen, I'll ask the musicians to play our invitation number. And if God touched your heart in some way this morning, in any way whatsoever, I might not have even asked the question that God dealt with you about, but if God touched your heart, won't you just slip to the aisle, come to this old-fashioned altar, and get it straight with God. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the clarity of the word. Thank you, Father, that it just convicts us, Lord, that it makes us think about us and eternity and where we are spiritually. Lord, I pray you'll just bless this invitation. I pray that folks would be tender to you, Father, and they would respond. And that as they draw nigh, Lord, that you would draw nigh to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the music plays, God touch your heart some way this morning. Won't you find your place at this old-timey altar and spend some time with the Lord God here this morning?